Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor Dag Heward Mills. This Friday's message will take a closer look at the kinds of curses that man can be prone to as a result of the fallen nature that started in the Garden of Eden. Today, Bishop Dag will passionately cause you to look for opportunities to serve God in order to overcome the curse of this world. After listening, today's message will cause you to ask yourself, how can I help the kingdom of God and what can I do with my life to contribute something to God? Even though a cursed ground is something difficult to yield a harvest from, today's word will push you to rise up and do all you can for the kingdom of God despite our fallen nature.
Last week we looked at becoming more involved in the work of God. Is that not so? Is that not so? And today we want to continue. We actually began a series on women doing the will of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I believe we'll just continue from there. And I want you to turn with me to Genesis. I want to give you a good background to that. Genesis chapter 3. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 3. And we want to read verse number 12 and learn something very quickly. Genesis chapter 3, verse 12. Downwards. Shall we all read together, please? She gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Amen. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Amen. Well, in this scripture, you see the punishment or the curse that was imposed on all men and all women because of Adam's disobedience to God. Is that not so? Now, what I want you to realize here is that in that day, there was only Adam and there was only Eve. And then there seemed to be this serpent also on the side. So when God was meting out the punishments, he separated it into man's punishment or man's curse, woman's curse, and then the serpent's curse. Are you listening to me? Are you there or you've gone home? All right, so you realize right there that Almighty God was showing a difference when it came to this curse or the application of the curse. Now, you really wonder whose curse was greater, the man, the woman, or if we should say the man or the woman. Are you listening to me? With a man, you find very, very terrible curses. He says, thorns and thistles it shall bring forth unto thee. Cursed be the ground. Now the ground symbolizes, you know, work that all men will do. Are you listening to me? And you find out that the Bible says, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In other words, a cursed ground is something difficult to get a harvest from. So you find out that all men, no matter what work they do, have a very difficult ground to deal with. So the work of all men is very hard, very difficult, no matter who he is. If you are a laborer, you struggle from morning till evening trying to dig out the dust from the ground. If you are a cleaner, you struggle with the mess in the place. If you are a secretary, you have to go to work from morning till evening every day. You cannot do what you want to do. You have to be there 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, leave 5 o'clock, 5:30. Even if there's nothing to do, you have to read Graphic or Chronicle or something and sit there till it's time to go. If you are a doctor, you have to go to school for many, many years, and you work very, very hard after that. No matter how rich you are, no matter how rich you are, no matter how rich you are, you still experience the curse. One of the jobs I wouldn't like to have is to be the president of Ghana. Yes. You may drive a Mercedes Benz, but I don't envy your position. It's a very difficult job to be the president of Ghana. It's very difficult to run a democracy. You see that Obasanjo is struggling in Nigeria now with a strike. You know, but probably when he was an army general and he was ruling, it wasn't like that. But as soon as everybody's opinion is allowed to be expressed, the whole thing changes. Everybody has two ideas to contribute. Times 200, that's 400 ideas in parliament. So you realize that every job is difficult. So the reason why Ghanaians are trying to get away from Ghana is not because... when I say they are trying to get away from Ghana, you just have to go to the embassies of the Western nations, and you will see in some of the embassies you have more than 1,000 people every week, not every month, every week, more than 1,000 applying for visas to get out of here. Not because over there the ground is not cursed. No, not at all. The ground is cursed over there as well. Because when I say the ground is cursed, when there's cursed ground, you may have to work on it harder, longer. If you go to America and you find, you get there, people are going to work equally hard. But only that the leadership over there, you see, why people are leaving Ghana, the reason they are leaving Ghana, they don't want to be led. They don't want this type of leadership. This is why they are going. But it's not that they are going because when they get there, they are going to rest. Write to the American friend you have, I mean a Ghanaian who is in America, and ask him how things are. Tell him to tell you the truth, whether he's experiencing the American dream or not. He will tell you that before you experience the American dream, you will experience the American nightmare. You will struggle. You will sweat. I mean, I've lived with doctors in America, and you should see them working. They earn a lot of money, yes, but they work like donkeys. They work so hard. They are so tired all the time. Even after they finish school, you know, after they finish their postgraduate studies, they still work very hard, long hours all the time. They earn a lot of money, but the ground is still hard. You may see a pastor say, oh, the pastor doesn't do anything. To be a really good pastor, and to be a successful pastor, you also work very hard. You don't know what I do. You don't have an idea. Most people don't have an idea. So, ladies and gentlemen, the ground is cursed. This is a curse applied to men. You get it? And you must understand that this was something that was explained in the Bible. That's why the Bible is still the number one bestseller of all books today, 2,000 years later. All right? And then he goes on and he says, in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread. In other words, you eat, but you sweat before you eat. You may be an architect, you may be an engineer, but you sweat. Maybe a pharmacist, but you sweat. I have pharmacists who can't come to church. I look for them to play instruments. I look for them to do things. I can't get them. They are sweating. Some are working 3 days in a row. People are working day and night on duty here. They work a bit here. They go and do locum here. Eating you eat, but you will sweat before you eat. And it's only the Bible which explains these things. And then the final and worst curse, I believe, is that you will return to the ground. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. I think that is probably the worst of all curses, the curse of death. You know, if ever you attend the funeral of somebody who shouldn't have died, but died, and you see how he left in the midst of his days, leaving behind young children, leaving behind a young wife, leaving behind a family who are almost confused because their daddy is taken away suddenly. And you see a body, the person was a real human being, talking, laughing, joking, playing, and he lies there, gone, just nothing, meat, a piece of meat, man. You can understand the uselessness of life itself almost to man. And that is the greatest curse. In fact, when you experience something like that, you look on and you ask yourself whether it's worth living and what are you living for? Life becomes very useless. So I think it's the worst of all curses, and that is why the Bible says the last enemy to overcome is death. So this is the situation for man, XY. XY is the genotype of the males or men. Now for the XX, the ladies, we spoke about that the last time, but I feel I should go over it a bit again. And it says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply, I'll put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman. So the first thing is that demons or the devil is particularly an enemy of women. Amen. And secondly, he said, I will multiply your sorrow in conception and childbearing. All right, which is also a curse. That's why we have a special gynecological department, obstetric department for women. Because there is a curse in that area. And that is why it's an area we pray for God to give children. That is why if you become pregnant, don't be angry. There are people who are trying to be pregnant. Amen. They are trying to have a child. It's not easy to have a child. It's a miracle. And it's a great blessing if you are able to just have a child just like that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, however many you have. It's the grace of the Lord. Can I have an amen? Because there is some curse in that area. That is why women die. Some die in that area. Some get sick. Some go through so many things before they have children. And finally, it says, your desire shall be to your husband. He shall rule over thee. And then there's a curse to have women under the hand of a man. Women who are living their lives normally. Women who are happy. And they still want to be ruled by a man. They want to have a man over them, even though the man will tell them, do this, don't do this, do that. And especially sometimes professional women who have gone to school and have studied and they have a job, and now suddenly you have to follow a man on a wild goose chase, and maybe you are following a person who is not wise. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. There are many women who are suffering because the man they married is not a wise man. Some are suffering because the man they married is not an aggressive man in the sense of going forward in life. There are some men like that. They just dissolve. Do you understand what I mean by that? They are just there, being there. You know? So, ladies and gentlemen, that is one of the curses of women. No matter how many bad things people see about marriage, how many divorces they hear about, they still want to be married. So now, as our duty as born again people is to overcome these situations. Amen. I just want to show you a little more how this curse is being implemented. There are more than 1 billion Muslims in the world today. And if you look at the Quran, you will find some very interesting things which go to emphasize, you know, because if you have 1 billion, more than 1 billion people under such rules and laws, you get it, you can tell you how women are being related to. For instance, in Quran chapter 4, you know, they don't have like Luke, Matthew, and so on. They just have surahs. And chapter 4, it really talks about women. Verse 34, you will find it says that men are superior to women. Straight away. It's just clear. If you are a man, you are superior to a woman. Now, in Islam, we also have what we call the hadith. Hadith is something like a teaching that explains what the Quran says. And it is also considered to be holy text. Text that must be obeyed. In Hadith Sahih al-Bukhari, it says that women are deficient in intelligence, in gratitude, and in religion. You know, so women are seen as deficient in these ways. In Hadith number 919, it says women are toys. Then in Hadith Ilhiya Ulum Ed Dim, it says the deception of women is awesome, their wickedness is contagious, and bad character and feeble minds are their predominant traits. I want you to see that in a very large and strong religion, this is the mind about women. And even though it may not be said in that way about in the rest of the world, and I said, it is an unconscious thinking in the world today. This is how people think. You know, so if you're a woman with direction or a daughter of destiny, you got to rise up in the name of Jesus and do well. In Quran chapter 2, verse 282, it says, the witness of two women is equal to the witness of one man. All right? Hadith Ilhiya Ulum Ed Din. It says, when women go outside their homes, I think probably means sexually, delights the devil. Now, in another hadith by Muhammad Said Ramadan Al-Buti, it says women must wear hijabs or veils to protect not only their own chastity, but men who might see them. All right? Now, notice this one, very important. It says it is condescension on the part of a man to spend his life with a woman. She cannot repay this, no matter what sacrifice she makes. You get what I'm saying? It says that it is condescension of a man, for a man to spend his life with a woman. So, and see, the woman can never repay this favor. Now, in our culture today, I mean, men don't want to stay with women. They stay with them, they want to have a girlfriend, they do this. It's like to move around with him or with her or to stay with a woman. It's like you are doing her a favor which she cannot even repay. And that is why you must have other girlfriends and this and that all around on the side. So these are unconscious ways about which women are taught. And I'm teaching you this. As women, you can rise up and do better. Amen. A husband who fears rebelliousness in his wife must admonish her first. This is Quran chapter 4, verse 34 again. If that does not work, a rebellious wife, he has the right to desert her sexually. If that one does not work, he may beat her. All right. A husband may beat his wife mildly if she does not wear fineries that he requests. If you ask her, wear a necklace, wear this, and she does not wear, a husband may beat her mildly. So he's giving the reason for which Adam may beat his wife Mali. Number one, if she refuses to wear the nice things he requests. Number two, if he refuses sexual relations without a lawful excuse. Number three, if she refuses to take a bath to clean herself from impurities for prayer. And if she goes abroad without permission from her husband. All right? Emma in Ibn Kathir commenting on Quran 434, he says, a man is not to be asked why he beat his wife because it is his unquestionable right. And then Saeed Kutub Fi Zilal Al-Quran commenting on Quran 434, it says, beatings reform the deviations in behavior and are gratifying to women. Some women will not recognize the part the man has to play in their life except the man conquers her physically. Men may marry up to four women. Some texts in the Islam say up to nine women. Others say an unlimited number. And have sex with an unlimited number of slave girls. All right? And then also in Quran 44, verse 51 to 54, Quran 55, 56 to 58, Quran 55, 72 and 56, 17, it says that men in paradise will enjoy sex perpetually with exquisite virgin women and young boys. All right? And Hadith number 33 and number 301 says that the majority of women will go to hell. Anyway, so this you can see. I just read all these things out to you, you know, to see how the mind has been made to think about women. And women need to know that the devil is particularly against you spiritually. And so do not joke with your spiritual life. No matter whom you are married to, or no matter what you think your situation is. Amen. Do not joke with this reality. That is why when I see a woman who does not want to take God seriously, I marvel. I saw a certain lady, I was talking to her once, and she was being cheeky. And as I looked at her, I wondered at this woman. And she seemed to have everything together. She had a good job. She was well educated. She had a nice person she was going to marry and so on. And she was not interested in God. In fact, when I was encouraging her, I was telling her, look, bring this person you are taking to church, you know, this person you are going out with, you're going to marry him, bring him to church. Let him come into the house of God. She was not interested in that. In fact, she thought what I was saying was rubbish, until the guy now started to lose interest in her. Then suddenly, she was trying to bring him to church. And I just said to myself, is it now that you've realized that you need God in your life? But it was too late, and the guy just left her and threw her away. You see, ladies, I want you to know, where you have a woman who does not see the need of being spiritual, you have a deceived woman. You have a woman with four troubles instead of three. Because apart from these three, you have received a new deception in your life. When you have a woman who decides to take up secular things and human things, just looking after children, getting husbands, getting married, these things, the Bible calls it a curse. He said that a curse will be that you will desire the husband. Ladies, I want to speak to you and tell you that God is saying you must rise up spiritually. Amen. Amen. Particularly if you are a woman, never take your spirituality for granted. Never take it for granted. Look at what a whole religion says about women. Look at the state of women in our country. It is the women who carry firewood. You see the state of women walking around. Man, I don't want to say some things. You really wonder. And that is why probably some people have come up with all these women's movements, one movement after the other, trying to emancipate women and teach them how to do something. So, ladies, it is time, it is important for us to rise up and contribute. Pastor Yonggi Cho says that his women are the best pastors.
And I believe so. If your mind can be corrected, you see, people come into this life, many women come into this man with a mind that my goal is to marry. What kind of goal is that? What kind of vision is that? My goal is to get somebody and to marry at all costs. Going around from person to person, seeking for love. When you are in a relationship, you must let your relationship be a spiritual relationship. And the woman must ensure that you must rather be the one who would be pushing and not to pull away, thinking that everything is set. Everything is not set. Perhaps you haven't seen much in life. Everything is not set at all. The devil has targeted you. He has targeted your life. And there is a curse in the system. That is why we are struggling in Ghana. I have church members who have risked their lives to get away from Ghana. Today I see some of them working abroad and so on. And I look, I have people who have walked through the Sahara Desert. Walked through the Sahara. I'm not talking about a symbolic Sahara Desert. I'm talking about a real Sahara Desert. Have walked through with people dying on the way just to make it, to eat. That's the curse in operation. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread. Small food that they'll eat. They have struggled, suffered. Some have swam through sharks and rivers and lakes and seas to eat. People are trying to get out. People are trying to work. People are trying. That thing is so obvious. And so you see that humanity is struggling to survive. Women, don't sit down and bet your whole life, I'm waiting for a husband. I'm waiting. After all, when you go to heaven, your husband is not going to be your husband anymore. Jesus told the story of a man who married and died. And after that, his wife was given to the brother. The brother too died. And then the third one and the fourth, until she had been married to 7 brothers of the same Jackson Davis family. If your name is Jackson Davis, I'm sorry. I'm talking about a symbolic Jackson Davis. Then they asked Jesus, when this woman gets to heaven, who will be her husband? Who will be her husband? And Jesus said, you people, you don't understand. In heaven, it is not like here. And you come and you are Mrs. this and Mrs. that. Mrs. whatever is a temporary identity. It's a temporary identity. It is just an attachment for convenience so that you have somebody to help, to guide in life, to guide things if he's wise. If he's not wise, then it will not be guiding, it will be misguiding. You have somebody to live with when you are feeling cold, somebody to keep you warm, and to fulfill some human material needs. That's all. It's a temporary arrangement. That is why when you die, if you die, your spouse can marry again. No big deal. Because it's just a temporary agreement you sign and you are just moving together for some time. Hey, abroad, they don't even marry and they don't even sign. They don't marry anymore. They just move together. So ladies, I want to speak to you and tell you, you've got to rise up and know that, look, things have been said against you. People's minds. You see, men, in our minds, we feel that a woman is inferior. If you go into a plane, and when you are going into the plane, you turn your head and you realize that the pilot is a woman. You say, oh, Charlie, are we safe? Are we going to be safe on this plane? It's natural. It's a natural thing. It's not that she's not capable. I mean, I once heard of a plane. I was actually in America when it happened. A plane that crashed and went straight down. All the lights and everything went off in the plane. The plane just went vertically down into some mud and disappeared. It just vanished under the mud. And then after we heard that the pilot was a lady, and immediately it occurred to me. You see, it's possible that she's better than even some of them, but it immediately occurred to me that, is it possible that because the woman was a lady, and the pilot was a lady, perhaps, maybe she was not as wild as a man? You see, it is ingrained in our minds. But ladies must rise up and know that you are created in Christ. There's neither female, there's neither male, there's neither Greek, there's neither Jew. There's no African, there's no European. We are all one. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be like a developing part of heaven, undeveloped part, third world, third heavens, and so on. There's no third heavens is on the way to the main place. But there's third heavens, but not developing heavens. There is going to be one place for you and for me. And God is saying to us, let us rise up and do his work. So ladies, to see some of you not coming for prayer meeting on Friday, you are sleeping, snoring. Snoring away. It's wonderful. You don't understand what is going on. Oh yes. Perhaps your beloved is even coming, you are discouraging. Some of you, beloved, you come and you say, I am not going, will you go? You just come to your brother and say, I am not going, will you go? When you say, I'm not going, will you go? You are telling him, don't go. It's a pity. Wives! Wives! Who prevent their husbands from doing well spiritually. You are living under a curse. It's only a matter of time for the implementation of that curse. Amen! Preventing them from going forward. I pity you because you will account for your influence. Because the man is the head and the woman is the neck. And before the head can turn, the neck must agree. So necks are very powerful. When you have a stiff neck, see how the person is going like this. He can't turn. So ladies, I am here to encourage you to be women with direction. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. If tomorrow God takes away the man in your life and puts him down on a bed and says, sleep forever now, what will you do? Does your life come to an end? Rise up and do God's work. If you are here and you don't have a husband, live for Jesus. Let Jesus be your husband. I said, let Jesus be your husband. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. You can take Jesus as your husband. It is in Romans chapter 7. The Bible says we are married to Christ. Finally, turn your Bible to Mark chapter 4. Very quickly, I want to show you a tragedy right there. Quickly, please. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken and behold, there went a sower out to sow. And he taught them by parables. And you know the story. Some fell on good ground. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell on whatever ground. All right. Now notice verse 15. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. And when they come, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown. And these are they likewise, which were sown on stony ground, which when they have heard the word, they receive it with gladness, and have roots, no roots in themselves, and so endure for a time. But afterwards, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are offended today, know that it has been predicted in the Bible that there will be a time when you will have opportunity to be offended. People who are offended and always hurt are not people who can go forward in God. Are you listening to me? And then it goes on, and this is the one we want to see. And these are they which are sown amongst thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Amen. In this scripture, you will see the description of things which come and choke the word. You see, God has called all of us to serve him. Amen. Are you listening to me? God has called you, my brother and my sister, daughter of destiny. God has called you. You see, don't have a mistaken identity. One day, Jesus sat his disciples down and asked them their opinions. He said, what do people say? What are people saying in town about me? Do they say I'm a nice guy? Do they say I'm a good person? Do they say I'm a preacher? What are people saying? And then they began to tell him, some people say that you are a very wild preacher. And they told some guy said that you are a very anointed prophet, that your calling is a prophet. And others said that you are a new Elijah that has been released into the system. And then Jesus asked Peter, but what do you think that I am? What do you say about me? What's your opinion and your assessment of my life? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you can have a wrong impression about yourself. Even you can have a wrong impression about yourself. People can have a wrong impression about yourself, and you can have a wrong impression about yourself. You may think, I am a scientist. I am a mathematician. I am a student. I am a worker. I am whatever. But today I want to tell you, you are somebody whom God has sown his word into. He has called you. You are somebody who has received the word. God has called you to serve him, to live for him, to work for him, and to die for him. That is your basic call in this life. And a time is going to come when you are going to stand before God. And God is going to say, do you remember when I called you? Do you remember when I spoke to you by the pastor? You remember when I told you and I convicted you in your heart? You remember when I came to you in the morning, Sunday after Sunday, time after time, and I told you to work for me? I told you to live for me. I told you to serve me. I told you to do something useful with your life. I told you to stop just listening to sermon. Stop just coming to church. Stop just watching the thing like a drama. Do you remember when I called you? And you will stand and say, I couldn't do it. And why? Why don't we do what God tells us to do? Why don't we live for God? Why don't we come out or stop just caring for ourselves to begin to care for other people? Because the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, riches are the most deceptive things. Success is one of the most deceptive things. T.D. Jakes wrote a book. He says, can you stand to be blessed? It means can you actually live to a time when you are blessed and be blessed? And stand for God whilst you are blessed, can you? It's one of the most deceptive things. As you do well. That is why Europe has left God. They've forsaken God. They've gone away from him. They've turned their backs on God because they have money. There are solutions. If you are poor, if you don't have a house, if you don't have anything, there's a solution. There's a solution for every sickness. There's a doctor for everybody. There's a nurse for everybody. There's a private room for everybody. There's an answer to everything. And the success has deceived them. The Bible calls it the deceitfulness of riches. And people are deceived. Don't be deceived by your small blessing that you have. Don't be deceived by the little things you have achieved. Bible says that the deception that comes with blessings, deceive them. The Bible says the cares of this world, the responsibilities. And that's why I say to women, the responsibilities that come upon you and upon men, the responsibilities that come upon us, because we need to survive. We need to make it. As the economy is getting worse, we need to be able to survive. And the motivation for survival is the highest motivation for men. God is saying, don't let it. Oh, man. Yesterday, I went to a funeral of somebody. I went to several funerals. I went to the funeral of somebody, and I was just asking the relatives. I said, do you think he thought he was going to die? And he smiled and said, no, he didn't think. He was preparing for a program. He had prepared so much. He was going. I said, do you think he was going to die? No. If he knew he was going to die, he wouldn't have had the little children that he had who have to go to school. If he had known he was going to die, perhaps he would have even written a will. Dear friend, you will not know the day God will say, time up. Over. Even when you are watching a soccer match, you don't know when exactly the referee is going to blow his whistle. But you know that it's going to happen. Perhaps the time for God blowing the whistle on your life is soon. When you get your sign that, Lord, here's my O-level. What O-level certificate are you talking about? It's no O-level in heaven. Here's my this year. I just marvel as I watch Christians just degenerate and become church attending, church in church for 1 hour. And as soon as they go out, you can't see any Christ on them. And of course, you can't see any Christ on you because all your church is coming to watch me. Do you think that I will be where I am by watching people preach for years? You will never enjoy Christianity as you keep watching and watching. Look, it is nice to be a Christian, though. Some people are saying, it's so hard, though. It's very hard to serve God. It's hard. It's because you are not in it. Once you get in it, people tell me sometimes, you know, how do you have energy to preach? I have energy because I'm the one preaching. You are the one sitting down watching. So you get tired before I get tired. Once you start to do the thing, it begins to be so nice. You don't even want to stop. You don't get tired. You don't think about it. You just flow. Some of you can't get away from unbeliever music. You can't stop listening to unbeliever. You are unbeliever in one side and a believer on the other side. If the pastor manages to come to us at the wrong time, you may have to clear away your cigarettes and your beer. And the unbeliever music may have to change to Christian music quickly. Because you don't enjoy Christian, you are living two lives. Sorry. Dear friend, God is saying the curse of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the pleasures of this world choke the word. Today, don't allow any of these things to choke the word. Do you know that it is in wartime that people go to church more than any other time? War. You've not been in a war before. We have pastors who've been in wars. They say when there is war, the attendance at church is higher. Are you waiting for war for you to know when to attend church? Are you waiting for God to take away the pleasures of Accra? And then the riches and the blessings before you know that, yes, now I have to work for God. Listen to me. If you are my church member, look, you don't give me any pleasure by coming to sit down and watch me and then giving some small offering to the Lord. No. With your offering or without your offering, the church is going to work, and you know it. Because some of you have not been paying, but it's working. You see us still around. The pleasure you are going to give to God is when you rise up and do not allow your problems and the cares that are choking you to kill that call to work for God. You must work for God. You must have something in your hand. Jesus said, lay up treasures for yourself in heaven. Some of you can only boast about the treasures you have on earth. But what about heaven? When you get there, what will you have? What can you cross over with? Please, I want to encourage you. Join something in the church. Take up a role. Offer yourself. Sing for the Lord. Do something. Usher. Help. Do something. Don't just watch. It's your turn. A time has come for us to stop asking, what has the pastor got for me today? What has the church got for me today? You must rather come and ask, what can I contribute to the church today? What can I do for God today? What can I help? What can I do? What can I contribute? It's time for us to do something for God. Women, it's your turn to rise up. I believe that there's a strong women's movement going on in the world, all over the world. Very strong. And there's also a strong men's movement. Let's rise up and do what we have to do. Shall we stand to our feet? Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Help us, lead us, let us do your will in Jesus' name. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to be born again, Pastor, pray with me. Lift up your right hand. I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. You want to be born again? Pastor, pray with me. I want to be born again. Lift up your right hand quickly. God bless you. If you've lifted your hand, come to me in the front here. Come from where you're standing. Come right here. All those that have lifted your hands, come to me in front. I'm going to pray for you. Quickly, please. If you lifted up your hands, at the back, all over the place. Come all the way from where you're standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. I want you to go with our pastor right here. Are you Johnny? Okay. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I repent. I turn around and I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. Write my name in the book of life. From today, I will serve you and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.